And that's frustration right there, because we've been on such a good path moving forward, trying to advance some good ideas. So we're working and talking with legislators right now to do a bit of a reset heading into the 2026 session next year. We're already thinking in that direction about how do we redirect that focus down on those things that are going to really improve people's lives on a day-to-day basis.
All right, Brian, you say a missed opportunity. What could have been done? Give me an example.
Well, you know, I'll just go ahead and start right off the bat. When it comes to our workforce participation rate, we were dead last. You know, I think sometimes people say, thank God for Mississippi. We're 49th now. But when you look at our female workforce participation rate, we are dead last in the country. One of the big things that causes that is our child care situation in West Virginia. Most counties in West Virginia have less than 50% capacity for children under the age of five. And even when there are available slots for child care, the price tag is too high for many families. I mean, on average, it's about $800 a month a child. And those are some of the things, and that's going to be hard, but we have ideas. We've proposed solutions. Some of those did see some progress, at least getting some committee discussion this year. But that is something that is really key for fixing the business climate. And also, you know, education. We need to continue to figure out what do we need to be doing better to help those kids, especially in public K-12 education, to succeed in life. That's the workforce of the future. The vast majority of our kids are in public schools, and we need to be thinking about how can we help those kids better be prepared for success after they graduate high school.
Brian, I want to go the other direction. If there were bills that the chamber or the business community at large felt needed to be killed because they would be detrimental to business, identify those, because I think it's important to understand what you and your colleagues see as bad for West Virginia as well.
Sure. Well, let me start right off, because I think one of the ones that got a lot of discussion this year was Senate Bill 460. That was the vaccine legislation. And just to remind your listeners, there is a measles outbreak going on in the country right now. It has claimed three lives, two of them children. And this was a disease that 25 years ago we thought was eradicated. But thankfully, we have not had, TJ, any measles cases in West Virginia to this point, knock on wood, and largely owing to our strong vaccination laws for school students. Senate Bill 460, what was considered in the House of Delegates was a philosophical exemption masquerading as a religious exemption. And we would have gone into the vast majority of states with a philosophical exemption, as was envisioned in that bill. Thankfully, the House of Delegates voted that down in an overwhelming 56-42 vote a few weeks ago. But just last week, we had two other bills come up unrelated in the Senate Health Committee that were amended in essentially with that language in. One method would have provided that pretty broad exemption. The second would have been a backdoor, you can't access any medical records, which would have had the same effect. And so, you know, we were, again, scrambling to deal with that last week. Thankfully, those amendments were walked off before those bills were voted on in the Senate. But then, you know, we've also dealt with a number of bills that contained causes of action, which, again, for your listeners, just making it easier to sue businesses, schools, churches, and child care centers. We saw that language in the vaccine bill, for example, but a number of other bills contained private causes of action. We've been really looking to make sure that our legal climate is in the mainstream with other states. And these bills had provisions in them that would have really started to expand that liability. It was lawsuit expansion in West Virginia that we were looking at. Another example of a bill, TJ, that we had to engage and get stopped. Thankfully, we got it stopped in the Senate with Senate Bill 850. What that bill said on the face of it, in an amendment that they were considering, is that you would, who, as a company, you would have to publicly declare that you do not have any ESG or DEI policies and act in accordance that you do not have them in order to be protected from a lawsuit. The problem is, what are those things? And so we quickly identified, if you're a company, and let's just say for an example, you develop a process where say, you know what, we're going to recycle rather than sending more stuff to the landfill. Well, maybe that it costs you a little bit more money to do that, even though that's a public good. We viewed under that bill that would set you right up for a lawsuit. And we just fail to see when those bills come up, how would the passage of that bill do one thing to bring one more job to West Virginia, to entice one more company to say, you know what, I want to come locate in West Virginia. And so those are the frustrating things, is sometimes the titles, they may sound good. They may appeal to individuals to say, hey, there's something there, but you really have to look at what would that bill do and what would the actual effect of it be if that were to pass.
So you're not an attorney. I'm not an attorney. You may be an attorney. I don't think you are. Forgive me. I'm not an attorney. Okay. One of the things I hear back all the time is that without these causes of action, people would not have an avenue to be able to adjudicate issues. Do you agree or disagree with that?
So, you know, I think you always want to go ahead and make sure that if there is a true wrong or a true injustice, that there is that avenue. And we have that. The legal reform that, you know, has been really brought about over the last 10 years doesn't limit the ability of people to bring lawsuits. But what it does is it brings our laws more into line with the majority of other states. What are the rules? What are the regulations? I'll give you a perfect example, DJ. If I were to ask you what you had for lunch yesterday, you could probably tell me. But if I ask you what you had for lunch last Tuesday, you probably couldn't. So that would be in relation to a statute of limitations. We had a bill this year that would actually have brought our statute of limitations on written contracts more into line with other states. Unfortunately, that bill was voted down. But the real reason that you have a statute of limitations is memories fade. You know, it's memories do not hold up. Sometimes, you know, depending how long it is, people that may have been witness to the case or been a part of that have died. And so that's why you do put some parameters on there. We're not doing anything to eliminate the ability when it comes to that kind of stuff to bring those causes of action. But we're sitting there looking and saying, how do other states treat it? What's the appropriate time that you do these types of things? And just to make sure that we're not an outlier. That's really what we've been looking to do. But again, back to some of those other bills I just talked about, they would have made us an outlier in the wrong direction.
Brian Dayton is joining us, West Virginia Chamber of Commerce. Brian, how much of your job over the next 9 months will be to sit down with lawmakers and talk about the intended consequences and unintended consequences of bills and continue to make West Virginia business friendly?
You know, it never stops. We do this. We have a great team at the chamber, so it's not just me. It's our entire team. You know, those who lobbied with us: Caitlin Pitlack Mora, Andrea Garrett, Kaylin George, Elizabeth House, Steve Roberts. I mean, we all work, and we're all talking to legislators on a daily basis about these types of things. And I want to just put out there for a second, we have some really good legislators in West Virginia that are constantly looking at how do we make West Virginia a better place. And they are trying to keep that focus in the right direction. So we're working with them. We're working with some others. A lot of times it's education. It's educating them on what something could do versus what you may think it or you're intending to do. So that'll be a nonstop job, but that's not atypical. We don't just do this for 60 days. We do this year round.
Brian Dayton, he is vice president.